Welcome to the Unconquered Podcast.
In Florida State, we won national championships and ACC championships.
Back to some basics, consistency in what we're doing. Guys getting a little banged and bruised, working a bunch of different situations, making progress.
You have to have success so you know something I can really do this.
Welcome back to the Unconquered Podcast. This is your host, Jason Staples, here with a quick preview of the Florida State-Michigan Orange Bowl. Just in time for a little bit of morning listening or listening during a break on Friday before the game on Friday night. Plenty to talk about in this game. Two blue blood programs. This is, I think, even if you're not a fan of these two teams, the most appealing bowl matchup in outside the college football playoff. Just interesting characters. Jimbo Fisher, Harbaugh, two of the best programs in college football, two of the richest traditions, two of the most talented rosters, and really an interesting matchup of a team that may have been the best team in the country early in the year, Michigan, with the team that really improved over the course of the year with Florida State, a team that is one of the most experienced, probably the most experienced and seasoned teams in the Power Five conference play in Michigan. 43 seniors, 10 seniors on defense, plus a junior who's likely to go pro. So they're going to have to replace all 11 starters on their defense next year. And it's going to be an interesting matchup between that experience and all of Florida State's talent, which is obviously not nearly as experienced. Florida State with only 9 seniors on their roster. So very, very different kind of matchup in that regard. It's you know, experience versus young talent. So, you know, lots of intriguing stuff here. But I'm just going to get right down to it. We're going to talk about Florida State's offense against the Michigan defense first, then the Michigan offense against the Florida State defense next. And then do a little bit of cleaning up after that and give the prediction at the end of the podcast. So let's go ahead and get to the discussion of the Michigan defense. First and foremost, this is, according to the S&P Plus, which is opponent-adjusted, adjusts for pace and everything else, the best defense that Florida State will have faced to this point in the season. And actually, not only that, in the S&P Plus, Michigan is the best defense in the country, ranked ahead of Alabama. Now, I don't believe that for a second. I've watched both teams. I actually think that in this regard, the Michigan defense is a beneficiary of not having played a schedule that has threatened them quite as much. And I know that the S&P Plus is opponent adjusted, but I actually think at times that the S&P Plus does not adjust for opponent enough. And I think this is one of those cases. They're just a little bit, I don't think they're as good as Bama. And actually, if you look at ESPN's FPI, they have Michigan at third, which I think is probably closer to right. They've got them behind Alabama, who's comfortably number one, and then Ohio State at number two. And I think they're around even with Ohio State. This is probably the second best or third best defense in the country. Now, like I said, they have not played a whole lot of good offenses. The best offenses that Michigan faced are Ohio State, 12th in S&P Plus, Penn State, 19th in S&P Plus, and Colorado, 43rd in S&P Plus. And, you know, we'll see whether that Colorado win was any good in how the Buffs perform against Oklahoma State, which will be a little bit of an indicator of how, you know, whether or not Michigan's defense is really as good as people think, or whether maybe they were overinflated just a little bit by schedule. Keep in mind also they played Penn State early before they got hot. They played Colorado with their backup quarterback. And that, you know, that's a very different kind of slate than what, say, Florida State faced with the number two offense in Louisville, number three in USF, number 11 offense in Clemson, number 20 offense in Mississippi, back when they had Chad Kelly when they were actually better than 20th in the country. They played UNC, who is 23rd, and that's with a healthy Mac Collins and a healthy offensive line, and also before the Hurricane game against Virginia Tech cost UNC around 12 spots in the S&P Plus rankings as well, where they put up about 100 yards of total offense in the Hurricane. And then they also played Louisville at their very peak. And then they faced Miami as well, 36th in total offense, so or in S&P Plus offensive rating. So all that to say, Florida State played, let's see, 5 teams ranked above 30th in the country, ranked above 29th, say, in the country, and Michigan defensively faced one. So I do wonder to some degree whether Michigan's level of dominance is a result of, at least in part, of some of the offenses that they faced. And this, you know, you could say the same thing about Florida State's resurgence late in the year defensively after they were done facing that slate of Louisville, USF, Mississippi, UNC, and Miami. Suddenly their defense looked a whole lot better. And then, of course, they gave up more points against Clemson again when they faced a better offense. Although again, that was, we've talked about that on this program, that that you know they only gave up 20 points into well into the third quarter before they lost, or well into the fourth quarter, that is, before they lost Trey Marshall. But still, they gave up 37 points in that game, and that basically is the only good offense that they played in the second half of the season. Well, basically, Michigan played Florida State's second half of the season schedule all year defensively, and you wonder how much of their dominance is the result of that. Now, that all that you know, don't get me wrong here, this is still the best defense that Florida State will have faced, and this is still a really, really good defense. This is Don Brown, who has had some success against Florida State at Boston College in the past. Now, Fisher has had his success against Brown as well, most notably in 2013 when he shredded a Brown defense with Jameis Winston. A little bit of an outlier, obviously, when you have that 2013 offense, but it's still still worth including as a data point. But Brown is one of those guys who has a very complex scheme, brings a pressure from a lot of different angles, and he has a defense of all seniors plus Jabril Peppers that can do all of the things that he wants his defense to be able to do. And specifically, he's got a terrific pass rush, an excellent defensive line, one of the best defensive lines in the country, with a couple guys that are going to go in the top two rounds of the NFL draft, two, three rounds of the NFL draft, most notably Taco Charlton, their defensive end, who is going to be their primary pass rusher, long, very explosive off the edge, plays a buck position similar to what Josh Sweat plays in the Florida State defense, but long, explosive, very difficult to get the edge on him overall, and he has a just a large wingspan, and with his explosiveness, he's tough to keep out of the backfield, and he's going to be a handful for Florida State's tackles. And then along with Chris Wormley, their other defensive end, who's also very good, and then Ryan Glasgow and Matthew Godin, both defensive tackles, quality defensive tackles. That said, I guess I'll get to that in a moment. Both defensive tackles, quality. They go eight deep on the defensive line. Rashawn Gary, the true freshman defensive end, who was as good a who put on as good an all-star performance last year at defensive end as anyone has in recent memory in terms of defensive line performances at an all-star game. You know, tons of talent up front, and then they pair that with a very, very good secondary. I mean, you could go as far as to call this a great college secondary. I mean, all four of the guys that they start in the secondary are likely to get drafted. Although I would actually include Jabril Peppers, who plays. Technically, they have him listed as a linebacker. Really, what he is he's the star position in their defense. They just call it a linebacker. It's the Sam linebacker position in their defense. He's really a fifth defensive back in what they do. He just comes into the box a bunch and so on, depending on what teams do. All five guys, if you want to talk about it that way, with Peppers as a star, all five guys in the secondary are going to get drafted. So it's a really, really good, I think you could go as far as to say, great college secondary. And both corners are elite. Jordan Lewis has for the last 2 years been one of the best corners in the country, regardless of competition, regardless of anything else. He has been rated the last 2 years as at the very top of the country in Pro Football Focus's coverage ratings. He has been nobody's really done a whole lot on him. He has had a little bit of trouble at times with bigger receivers because of his size. Lewis is a little bit on the smallish side at about 5'10", but he is so technically sound and very explosive that he's been able to compensate for that most of the time. And generally speaking, it's been only NFL level bigger receivers that have given him any trouble. And quite frankly, it'll be interesting to see how Florida State is able to do against him, given what they just saw with Florida in Quincy Wilson and Jalen Tabor, because he is every bit the kind of player as those guys. And frankly, their other corner, Channing Stribling, maybe the guy that I'm most concerned about on their defense in this game because of his ability. He's 6'2", has a ton of length, is actually in a lot of ways a bit of a clone of Florida State's Tavarius McFadden. He's probably the most similar corner to Tavarius McFadden that I've seen anywhere else in the country. That kind of length with the ability to turn his hips and run and stay in phase with receivers on vertical routes. He's one of those guys that we've seen it all year with Tavarius McFadden. When teams test him deep, he's been able to stay in phase, meaning on the hip of the wide receiver, and play the ball like a wide receiver with that length and go up and get the football. And Stribling is one of those guys that can do that. And with his size and his length at the line of scrimmage, he can bully guys. And Florida State, especially with some of their smaller receivers this year, has had some trouble getting off the line of scrimmage at times. And he also is one of those guys that makes 6'5" wide receiver Auden Tate for Florida State less of a matchup edge than he is in most cases. Because when they can match up Stribling against him, he has the length to be able to compete with a guy like Auden Tate, unlike most corners in the country. It's going to be a challenge for Florida State wide receivers to get off the press coverage, off of the very tight coverage that Michigan will be able to bring with their corners on the outside, and with a defensive coordinator like Don Brown, Dr. Blitz. It's critical for him to have elite corners on the outside that allow him the flexibility to do so much with the rest of the other nine guys on defense, because he believes that his corners are going to hold up outside, and he's been right for the last 2 years because those guys are elite. They're both NFL corners. So you combine that kind of secondary with a great defensive line, and you're going to get a really, really top-notch defense. And their linebackers are very good in the running in the running game, both 230 plus 240 pound range, and come downhill and thump. They've got a couple thumpers in there that play with some size, and are quality linebackers. They really don't have any glaring weaknesses on this defense, which is why this is the best defense Florida State will have faced this season. Every other defense that they've faced has, to some degree, had some sort of weakness, some place that you could point and say, yeah, Florida State has a distinct edge there. With Michigan, that's much less the case. Now, I do think that there are some things that show up, if you look closely, where Florida State can get some plays against the Michigan defense that gives some reason for optimism. There are some potential chinks in the armor for Michigan defensively, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But overall, this is a really, really good defense for Michigan. It's one that matches up with a Florida State offense that's very run heavy, and relies on Dalvin Cook with that great defensive line and the ability to single cover outside. That is really important for them to be able to load up against what Florida State does best. So in that regard, it's a good matchup for the Michigan defense, at least on the surface. And again, we'll talk about that as we in our final segment. We'll talk about some of the things that I think Florida State will do against that Michigan defense to try to get some matchup advantages and such. And I think it's going to be a really interesting chess match in that game. Let's flip over to the offensive side for Michigan, defensive side for Florida State. Talked about this earlier on a prior podcast that I think that this is one of the best matchups that Florida State could have drawn in the among the the elite group of teams this year. If they're going to play an elite team, I think they would have chosen to play Michigan because of how well Florida State's defense matches up against Michigan versus, say, against Clemson or Louisville or Alabama or some of these others. I think Florida State matches up defensively better against Michigan than they have against about half of their schedule. And frankly, I think that the Michigan offense is as good as their defense is. Michigan's offense is about the seventh best, maybe the eighth best that Florida State's played this year. So, that is a pretty big deal that, Florida State's faced a lot better offenses than what they're seeing from Michigan in this game. And actually, they've faced an offense that's very, very similar to what Michigan presents in terms of problems that Michigan presents. And that's Miami. I think, I talked about this again on a prior podcast, but I think that this Michigan offense is very comparable to Miami. But there are some things that make them unique as well. But I think, in terms of their approach, they're both primarily I formation kind of pro style offenses with immobile quarterbacks that are going to try to run it, be very physical, run it down your throat. That's the kind of offenses that these teams bring to the table. Now, Miami has better skill talent. Miami had better wide receivers, running backs, and quarterback than what Michigan has. And I think they're about even at tight end. Jake Butt is excellent. And Joku is a guy that's turning pro as a sophomore. So, also a really top-notch tight end for Miami. But Michigan is, I think, significantly better on the offensive line than what Miami is, particularly than what Miami was when Florida State played them, when Miami was a little bit banged up front. But the places where the Michigan offense is more unique is in the breadth of concepts that they run, particularly in the running game. You want to talk about Jimbo Fisher's offense being complex, particularly for college football. You want to talk about that. Harbaugh's offense is every bit as diverse and I think more complex in many respects than Fisher's offense. And it's probably no coincidence that both of those guys were quarterbacks and come to the game with very similar lenses as a result of seeing everything through the quarterback's eyes and believing that they can simplify things enough for their quarterbacks to be able to run complex offenses. And basically it's one of those things that they use all sorts of things, all sorts of window dressing to make things extra complex while actually presenting things much more simply in terms of teaching. And that's really something that is much more difficult to do than people appreciate. And that's what distinguishes, in many cases, great coaches from ordinary coaches or good coaches. Great coaches are able to take the complex and simplify it so that their players can actually execute it. And I think Harbaugh does as good a job of that as anybody in the country. And I think Fisher does about as good a job of that as anybody in the country as well. And that's what makes those guys such elite coaches. And Michigan is going to bring to Florida State very much the same kind of approach that they're used to seeing from their own offense in practice there. And in that respect, it's kind of like Miami's offense if you married it to Florida State's offense, and if you married it to Fisher's offense in terms of having some of the various concepts and motions and things that you have to plan for. This is very much for scheme junkies, for guys who love to watch the subtle micro adjustments in college football. This is a scheme junkie's dream matchup to watch these two units on each side of the ball, offense, defense on both sides of the ball, to see what's happening, because both teams are going to bring a ton of complexity at at what the other team is going to have to prepare for, while actually presenting to their own side a way of simplifying that. And one of the ways that they do that is that when you use a bunch of formations and motions and things like that, like Michigan does, and that's what really probably they do more than just about anybody in the country. The thing is, they actually will run a lot of the same base stuff, the same play, but they'll run it from 10 different formations with another 4 different motions on top of that, that mean that the defense has to prepare as though it's 15 or 16 different plays, but the offense only practices one play and then just has to learn different places to stand, different places to motion to. And all of that. And that's much easier to teach than teaching tons of different plays. And that's what Michigan brings. And it's going to be a real challenge for the Florida State defense to make sure that against all of those various formation looks and against the shifts and the motions and all of those things, it's going to put a tremendous amount of stress on Charles Kelly's defense to communicate and to make sure that the checks are made to not get gapped in the running game, or to give up a free receiver downfield in the passing game because of some sort of miscommunication due to a shift or a motion or something. And Florida State, frankly, in the first half of the year, didn't handle motion well at all. I mean, it was one of those things where if a team went in motion, you could almost expect a big play as a result of just seeing the motion before the play. They got better at that as the year went on. Some of that is a little bit of the result of lesser competition. Some of it was legitimate fundamental improvement. But that's going to be critical for Florida State in this game. They're going to have to do a great job of dealing with the various looks that they're going to get from Harbaugh, particularly with all the extra preparation that Michigan's going to bring to this game, and all the extra wrinkles that Harbaugh is going to bring in. It's going to be a really, really difficult matchup to deal with all of the various stuff that you have to worry about with Michigan. And that's where I think early in the game, especially, I wouldn't be surprised if Michigan is able to move the football and probably get a score or two early in the game before the defense settles down and kind of figures out what Harbaugh has brought to the table for this game. It's going to be, you know, it's a little bit more difficult in the bowl games in particular, because you just don't know what the offense is going to bring. Now, that said, if Florida State is able to limit what Michigan gets on those first couple drives, when things are scripted and when they're bringing in all the stuff that they've been prepping for the last week and repping it over and over and over again because they know what they're going to run in that script, if Florida State's able to get a couple stops in those first couple drives, that's going to be a huge sign. That's going to be a big sign that Florida State's probably going to win the football game. This is one of those games where the start's going to say a lot. You know, there's going to be adjustments over the course of the whole game, but I do think that Florida State has done a great job adjusting defensively over the course of the season. But early in games, teams have been able to cause problems, cause, you know, too much thinking, particularly from the second level. And if Michigan's not able to do that at all in this game early, then that'll be a very good sign for Florida State. Now, in terms of matchups themselves, Michigan, because of the way that they really want to go 21 personnel, they want to go 2 backs, 1 tight end, or 12 personnel a lot, where they, you know, they're going to have a tight end on the field almost all the time. They're going to have usually a back on the, at least they're usually going to have 2 backs on the field, but usually it's going to be, you know, a bigger personnel package. I'm not sure that they're going to force Florida State all that much out of the bigger personnel, out of 3-4-4-3 personnel, which right now is Florida State's best 11. That gets Jacob Pugh on the field. That allows an extra pass rusher when they want that. It allows them to be much more solid against the run than when they go to the base 5 defensive backs that they run most of the time, with Derwin James out, with Ermin Lane out, with Nate Andrews out, with those 3 safeties out, particularly with Derwin out. They're just not as athletic against the run, not as physical against the run out of those packages. And, you know, they've had some trouble, as we've all seen, against some switch routes and things like that, that have allowed some free receivers downfield against more multiple wide receiver sets. And it'll be interesting to see what Harbaugh decides to do against that, because it's very much not what Michigan is. I do think we'll probably see more 11 personnel from Michigan, so three wide, one tight end, one back. And it's going to be interesting to see how Florida State decides to match up against that. Do they stay big and walk Pugh out over the wide receiver, or do they actually go to the five defensive back with the star there to deal with the slot receiver? And it's going to say a lot about what they think they can do in terms of matchups in this game to see how they respond when Michigan goes to 11 personnel, which is, I think, if I were Harbaugh, where I'd try to go against this Florida State defense is a lot more 11 personnel. That's three wide receivers, one tight end, one back, and try to run more out of that. Now, if Michigan tries to win in a phone booth, like I kind of expect that they will, with more two back, one tight end, traditional pro set type stuff, I think they're going to find it very tough sledding against the Florida State defense. I think FSU is better inside than anyone else they've played this year, particularly now that Derek Nnadi is healthy. And I think it's going to be a very tough matchup for Michigan in the running game there, even though they've faced some very good run defenses on the year. Ohio State's one of the best defenses in the country. Wisconsin's one of the best defenses in the country, particularly against the run. They've played a couple defenses that against the run present similar problems. Similarly also Iowa, number 12 defense in the country according to S&P Plus, and also a very good defense against the run. And frankly, as much as Michigan runs a ton of run concepts and presents all these various problems with shifts and motion to create gaps and all that in the running game, they haven't done a very good job running the football against those better, more physical defensive fronts. So I wonder how much, honestly, they're going to be able to run the football against Florida State. I actually suspect that Michigan's going to find it pretty tough sledding, and really Michigan's going to have some big plays down the field in order to score against Florida State. Now, I think Florida State's probably going to need some big plays to score against Michigan as well, but that's been Florida State's MO on the season, particularly with Dalvin Cook, and Michigan has not been that so much. Now, to me, what that means is that this game comes down to a couple keys. One is, how healthy is Wilton Spate, the quarterback for Michigan? He got banged up against Iowa, and even though he didn't play well before he got banged up against Iowa, you could really see that their passing game suffered late in the year with Spate dealing, I think, some with the elements, with colder and more windy weather. And also with getting banged up, and he should be healthy at this point. But how healthy is he? How well does he throw the football downfield? And the other thing is, I think really the X factor in this game is Amara Darboh, senior wide receiver, number 82 for Michigan. He sticks out. He's a guy reportedly ran a 10.300 meters in high school, 6'2", big kid. He's their vertical guy, and Florida State's going to have to make sure that they have somebody over top of him at all times, and they cannot let Darboh get loose in the secondary and let him create some big plays. They've got to make sure that they force Michigan to drive the field and run the football for better than 4 yards a carry, which they've not been able to manage against the better defenses that they played this year. They've got to make sure that they have to drive the football and run the football down the field against Florida State's defense. They cannot let them beat them vertically with Darboh. And I think Darboh is the key there. He's their Stacy Coley, if you want to continue the Miami comparison. And Florida State's going to have to do a good job of making sure they know where he is and that they honor his deep speed. Beyond that, Jake Butt as a tight end, one of the best in the country. Florida State's going to have to be conscious of where he is. But they've done well against tight ends all year, with the exception of the fourth quarter against Clemson with Leggett having that big play. But that was the only play he had all game as well. They've done well against tight ends all year, and I'm not as concerned about what Florida State secondary and linebackers will do against Butt as many are. But I think that Darbo is really the X factor for Michigan on offense. And if he doesn't have a big game and Spate isn't able to find him and also Jehu Chesson to a lesser extent downfield, then I think Florida State's gonna hold Miami to I think they'll hold them under 20. And you know, Bud Elliott pointed out recently, and I thought it was an interesting stat. Florida State is 7-0 against teams that are at or better than Florida or than Michigan or that are worse. That is at or worse than Michigan's S&P Plus offensive rating. Michigan's 28th in the country in offensive S&P Plus, and Florida State has not allowed more than 20 points to any team that is not significantly better than Michigan in terms of S&P Plus. Any team that is that or worse in the S&P Plus, Florida State has not allowed 20 points against any of those teams. They only allowed 20 points against teams significantly better in the offensive S&P Plus than what Michigan is. So I think that this is one of those games where, honestly, if everything holds, I think Michigan's going to have a hard time scoring more than 20 points against Florida State. Because I just don't see them being able to run the football all that well. And now that's where our third element comes into play. I think special teams are also going to be really critical in this game because I think both teams are going to have a hard time. It's going to be tough sledding for both teams in this game. Both defenses stop what the respective offenses do well. They do a good job against what the respective offenses do well. But special teams are a concern. And that's where Jabril Peppers, who I think is extremely overrated as a defensive player, is a real concern. He's a very good return man, and especially against a freshman punter for Florida State, that's I think the big concern for Florida State coming in. Probably the biggest concern is do they give up a big return? Does something negative happen in special teams that costs them a cheap one? Because I think possessions are going to be at a premium in this game. Neither team moves it especially well or especially quickly. And I think both teams are going to have tough sledding. So that means, you know, a quick flip of field position or a return for a score or something that changes, you know, it's the hidden yardage game. That's where some really important stuff's going to happen here. It's at a higher premium when there are fewer possessions, when teams are less likely to score in other respects. So that's where it's going to be critical. But Michigan has also had their issues in terms of kick coverage as well. So, you know, does Kermit Whitfield go out with a bang? Is Noonie Murray able to do something as a returner? I mean, that's where this game is going to be really interesting. I'm not sure what to expect there. I mean, FSU hasn't been all that good in special teams for, in the return game. It hasn't been especially good, and Michigan's been very good, but FSU's coverage teams have been pretty darn good. So, you know, with the exception of some real problems with the punt return coverage early in the year, but that special teams area is going to be a major key in this game more than it is in many other games. So as we get to the end of this, talking about how I see this game matching up, I do think that Florida State has some areas where they can pick on the Michigan defense, perhaps more than people expect. I think that first of all, Florida State ran the football really well against very good defenses late in the year. None of the defenses quite as good as Michigan's, quite as complete as Michigan's, but Clemson's defensive front is as good as Michigan's defensive front. Florida's defensive front, not quite as good as Michigan's, particularly with as banged up as they were at that point of the year, but a really dang good one. Boston College, a good defensive front. Not as good as Michigan's, but again, a very similar scheme to what Michigan's going to run. And Florida State was able to run the football with tremendous success and was able to pound those teams with the offensive line late in the year in particular. I think Florida State can probably run the football better than people expect against this Michigan front. And if I'm Jimbo Fisher, I want to go big against this Michigan defense. I want Jabril Peppers at 205 pounds to be in the box against a two tight end set with Dalvin Cook in the backfield. That's what I want. I want two tight end sets. I want to see Florida State. If I'm Jimbo Fisher, I'm planning to line up and try to pound the Michigan defense taking advantage of Jabril Peppers' lack of size, run it to his side in many cases. Force him to take the initiative head on and see if at 205 pounds he can handle the pounding. That's number one. And some of the Florida State, the people in the Florida State program think that they can run it on the edge. They think that they can get their athletes a little bit on the edge and have a little bit of an advantage against Michigan's size at linebacker as well. They think that with the big tight ends and the length that at offensive tackle that they've got, that they will be able to get the edge a little bit on Michigan. And if they can get Cook on the edge, then he can do some special stuff against their second level guys, against their linebackers in particular. So that's one thing that they think. The other thing is, if you look at the tape, power and counter stuff straight downhill should be stuff that Florida State is able to have some success with in this game. As opposed to, you know, Clemson up front, you got 330-pound defensive tackles. You had the freshman, his name is escaping me, Dexter Lawrence, 330 pounds, just a freak. You had, you know, a 295-pound defensive end, and you had a 315-pound defensive tackle next to him. So, you know, they were really, really big, and Florida State was able to run the football against those guys to some degree, and actually really was able to run it well in the second half, particularly with some power stuff, because Florida State, in terms of their guards and their ability to come downhill and do some stuff with some double teams with some power, can maul. Those guys can maul. And that also helps the center in terms of not having to do as much in terms of reach blocking and all that, and not being as vulnerable to getting pushed into the backfield where he's a little bit smaller. Michigan's defensive tackles are 295 and 300 pounds. They're not the monsters that Florida State has played in a couple of these games. I mean, Miami, you know, put out a couple 315-pound monsters up front. Michigan's defensive tackles are very good, but they did get mauled some against both Michigan State and Ohio State, and Iowa was able to run the football down their throat a little bit as well. And that's something that if I'm Florida State, I'm trying to see early whether or not I'm able to mash at the point of attack and maybe get a little bit more movement against those defensive tackles than expected. I suspect that that's one of the things we're going to see from Florida State in this game, that they're going to try to run downhill between the tackles up the middle of Michigan's defense. And I think that's what you've got to do against Michigan. You've got to test them in the middle of the field a little bit more. It's a little bit dangerous in the passing game, but that's the other thing that they're going to have to do in the passing game. I think the other key, aside from running the football in terms of matchups, is I think the biggest advantage that either side has in this game is actually Florida State's tight ends and running backs in the passing game against Michigan's linebackers. And also Peppers, if you want to count him as a star rather than a linebacker. But I think those guys, Florida State's tight ends, Izzo and Saunders and Dalvin Cook and also Jaquez Patrick in the passing game against that group is the biggest advantage Florida State has in this game. And DeAndre Francois has thrown the football really well to the tight ends and slot receivers down the middle of the field. And that's what Florida State's going to have to do in this game. I think it's really important for Florida State to be able to play action and go and hit down those middle seams, hit down the middle of the defense to the tight ends, to the slot receivers, and the running back so that they don't have to challenge those corners on the outside. And I think against those linebackers, they've got some matchup advantages in the middle of the field there. And if they can protect Francois at all, and on first down, you should have the opportunity to do that because, you know, the defense has to play honest. That's where I think the big matchup advantage is, and that's where I think Florida State is going to attack the most, is play action on first down, trying to attack that middle of the field, that middle zone, some of those seams, and also some of the matchups in man-to-man against the tight ends and against Dalvin Cook as a running back. And again, I would go right at Jabril Peppers, both with the tight ends, you know, using their size against him, and also with Dalvin Cook at running back. I don't think Peppers is especially uh, is is I don't think he moves side to side nearly as well as he chases. I mean, he's very, very fast and chases well when he's the chase player from behind. When he's a pursuit player, he's excellent. But he's somebody that I do want to get one-on-one with my running back in the open field going at him. He's a guy that I want to have to cover Dalvin Cook one-on-one out, you know, on a angle route or on a flat route, that sort of thing. And I think that's what Florida State is going to try to do against Michigan, is going to do more of that stuff. The other thing that really helps Florida State there is that Francois' ability to run really helps offset Don Brown's penchant to blitz. You have to be cautious of what angles you bring the blitz from, of where what you do in the blitz against a quarterback that can move. And we saw this with Ohio State with JT Barrett with 30 carries for over 90 yards. I think over 100 yards against Michigan, if I remember right. But watching Barrett and against Michigan showed a little bit more of that, you know, obviously Michigan's going to get pressure on you, particularly if you get into long yardage. But if you can run the quarterback, that presents some issues for them as it does for everyone else. And it also limits what they can do in terms of blitz packages. And if you're able to get some of those matchups that you like with linebacker or with the tight ends or with the running backs, you have to be more careful in what blitz packages you bring as a defensive coordinator. And that's where I think it's important that Fisher gets Francois' legs established a little bit early. And I think it's also important that Fisher makes it clear, if you identify X, Y, and Z blitz packages and so on against these concepts, feel free to take green grass and run. Just get out of there, make it a positive play, because he can, you know, Francois can change the game by getting out with his feet and breaking contain or busting a pocket up the middle. And again, changing things with his ability to run and making it more difficult for the defensive coordinator to bring exotic stuff in terms of various blitz packages. And again, also when you're doing that stuff with the tight ends and with the running backs as prominent parts of your offensive scheme, when teams are bringing the blitz, those guys are your outlets. And so again, you're already getting the ball out quickly so that you can deal with some of the blitz stuff. So that's where, you know, I think it's really important that Florida State does those things, takes advantage of those potential matchup advantages to take advantage of what Michigan presents. And then beyond that, you know, a couple 50-50 balls downfield, you got to win. You got to have Alden Tate manage to do something on a jump ball downfield. You got to get, you know, Kermit Whitfield loose on, you know, on a corner route or something that is going to get some big yardage. And again, I think Florida State is more equipped to get some of those big plays in this game than, you know, Michigan is on the other side of the field, with the possible exception of Darbo, again, 82, their big play wide receiver there. That's how I see this game breaking down. I think at the end of the day, I think Florida State matches up better with Michigan. Michigan may be, in general, on the aggregate, a better team than Florida State. And they certainly have had a better season than Florida State. They were better through most of the season than Florida State. But I think in terms of this matchup at this time of year, I'm going to pick Florida State to win this game. And I think that they not only win outright, but I think that they win by a surprisingly comfortable margin at the end of it. I think Michigan struggles to score over 20 in this game. And I think Florida State's able to get a few plays and ultimately able to control the game up front a little bit more than people expect. And stay out of long yardage. I don't think Michigan's going to be able to force Florida State into as many long yardage situations as a lot of people are expecting. When Florida State's in long yardage, Michigan's going to win that matchup. Francois's not been real good against in those, you know, sure passing situations all year, and Florida State's not going to be able to protect him all that well against Michigan's defensive line. If it's, you know, third and 12, Florida State's going to punt most of the time. But I think they're going to be able to have some success throwing the football on first down. I think that they're going to be able to run the football both with Cook and with, I think Patrick's going to get more looks in this game than people expect. I think they're going to be able to pound downhill some against Michigan more than expected. They're going to get some big plays. I've got Florida State winning this game 31-17 I think it's going to be one of the big shocks so far in a bowl season that has been shocking to a lot of people, as the ACC in particular has looked excellent, starting 5-1. And quite frankly, the Big Ten has not looked all that good. And some of these other and Michigan's best, you know, best wins have not, you know, it's a little bit of tarnish has come on that, while Florida State's schedule has looked increasingly difficult as these games have gone on. So I think at the end of the day, Florida State comes out. There were some reports that got to me that the first couple of days down in bowl preparation down in Miami were not very good for Florida State. But I did get word that the last few days of practice down in Miami were excellent, with very, very good focus, and you know, execution was good and all that. So it's worth noting that. But I think Florida State wins this game. I think they win it by 14. I think not only do they cover the spread, but they win outright and win by 14. I've got Florida State 31, Michigan 17. We'll see very soon whether or not I'm right. All right, well, that's going to do it for us today. Now, before we get out of here, just a reminder, you can follow me on Twitter at Doc Staples. As usual, you can subscribe to this program. You can feel free, if you've been enjoying this program all year, to give us effusive ratings on iTunes. Helps out a bunch in terms of attracting sponsors and allowing me to get more of these shows out. And, of course, don't forget to check back in for the breakdown after the Orange Bowl, along with some additional recruiting updates and discussion. This has been the Unconquered Podcast. I'm Jason Staples. Thanks for listening. But I do think Marshall has, you know, again, next level type talent. There's a reason that Alabama and Ohio State and Michigan were also recruiting the guy. I mean, he's a rare prospect in terms of size, speed, balance. Final question from Thomas Robinson. I've heard lots of fans and even some media grumble about needing changes at some assistant coaches' spots, particularly to upgrade recruiting, but there doesn't seem to be much movement on that front. Might we see some changes, or do you think Jimbo stamps pat and maybe just adds consultants and the like? I do expect there to be a change or two on the staff, in addition to the tenth assistant coach that's going to be brought in once the NCAA passes that rule allowing a tenth assistant coach. I do think we'll probably see at least one change on the staff. I think that'll be a positive. I don't think Fisher's out of touch with what needs to be done on his staff. I think there were times this year where he wasn't sure what needed to be done, and that, you know, wasn't sure what levers needed to be grasped. But I think that he'll have a good idea of what needs to be done. I do think that by and large, keeping this staff intact is probably the way to go for the most part. But a change or two wouldn't hurt, and I expect him to probably do that. And I've been told from inside that there are some expectations of a couple changes here or there, and also probably a change or two among the immediate support staff as well that will be worth keeping an eye on, as it will have some impact on the preparation of this Florida State team moving into 2017. So I don't think that he'll just stand pat, but I don't think we're going to see major wholesale changes either. I don't think we're going to see, you know, multiple, you know, large number of staffers let go. All right, well, that's going to do it for us once again today. Now, before you get out of here, just a reminder, you can follow me on Twitter at Doc Staples. You can also make sure to catch the next podcast, which is going to cover more of the Michigan
Florida State matchup in the Orange Bowl. Look at a couple of recruiting updates then, as well as I expect Florida State will be landing Cando and Akers between now and then. And there will probably be a few other things to discuss at that point. Don't forget to subscribe and leave effusive five-star ratings on iTunes. This has been the Unconquered Podcast on Seminole Sports Radio. Thanks for listening. I made this.